This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, folks. We always like to check in with the folks over in St. Tammany Parish because they play an integral part of the metropolitan economy. And Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce, joins us. Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Happy to be here.
So, Lacey, I hope you're not doing to me what Michael Heck does to me, and you're in a parking lot somewhere, because I do understand that you are at a very important function being held in St. Tammany Parish this morning.
I wish I could entertain the listeners as well as Michael Heck does. I am actually in a janitorial closet. But it's quiet, and reception seems to be just fine. So here we are.
The when places Newell you'll go for economic, for economic development, right?
Right.
So tell us about what's happening at the Castine Center today.
Well, we are thrilled to be the host for Southeastern University's first executive business forum. You know, we are a region, and 24% of Southeastern's students come from St. Tammany. So they have put together a host of outstanding speakers. We've already heard from Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple, and later this afternoon, we're going to hear from our own Secretary of Economic Development, Susan Bourgeois.
And obviously, big event. How's it going?
Well, it is sold out, and it's attended by decision makers at all levels of business and industry. They are leaders in the areas of talent, technology, and the economy. There's a lot of networking going on with existing and emerging leaders, where we are hearing cutting-edge solutions, focused information relevant to our prosperous future. I came in from a presentation on AI, and prior to that, we were welcomed by our Southeastern, still fairly new president, Dr. Will Wainwright, the former chancellor of North Shore Technical Community College. He's a longtime leader in our North Shore business community, and our chamber heavily supported his appointment as Southeastern's president. His catalytic leadership is affecting positive change, not only in the university, but in the region.
I've heard a lot of great things about him from a lot of folks. They're very excited about his leadership there at Southeastern.
Yes, I hope you can get him on as a guest sometime soon. He has a lot to share.
We will do that. You can make that happen. You know that, right?
I told him last night, and I'm being put to the test because I know he and several of the other Southeastern leaders are going to be listening to the rewind. But Southeastern is a beautiful campus, and they really, the programs that they've been talking about this morning are so relevant to our future workforce, everything from sales to technology and everything in between. But of course, this morning, you know, the issues that are on everyone's mind while the legislature is in session really center around insurance. Tim Temple had to open the forum this morning. I heard him on Tommy's show this morning because he has to rush back to Baton Rouge, as does Dr. Wainwright, because so much is happening in this session. but most of the number of bills being heard in this session are relative to insurance. So he announced the passage of four bills that happened yesterday. Coming up, as I said, I just was able to cheat and listen to the AI session a little bit. We're going to hear about Southeastern's role in carbon capture and the closing keynote address will be by Secretary Susan Bourgeois, who we are so proud hails from St. Tammany Parish as the founder and former CEO of our North Shore Community Foundation.
Absolutely, and did a great job there, and hopefully we have high hopes for her in the economic development office at the state level. I know that you guys have been following some of the other kind of touchstone pieces of legislation out there. Where are your members breaking on this call for the Constitutional Convention?
Well, I personally attended the committee meeting last week where most of the input was not opposed to the convention itself, but opposed to the timing and shutting the session down on May 20th and immediately going into the Constitutional Convention. There is 100% or 1,000% support for a Constitutional Convention, but the hesitancy is on the timing of it. So our executive committee is going to meet this afternoon and either support, oppose, or make a recommendation on that. We, of course, our own Senator Beth Mizell has some bills relative to economic development and the Department of Economic Development. And we are also looking at the public records bill by Senator Heather Cloud, which I know the media is on top of, and I've been following that personally. So I expect that we will come out with a recommendation of some sort on that this afternoon as well.
Yeah, I think it's far greater and broader than the media. I can tell you that most people that I talk to don't like the fact that, they're limiting deliberations. And unless they get to a final product, all of that deliberative process would be exempt. As well as I, Lacey, that a lot of stuff that goes on in government never ends up in a final product, but still is out there, and the public has a desire to know what it is that they're talking about and why.
Right. And of course, I do understand we have relationships with our own local government that it can be disruptive for these public records requests, and it just raises red flags for the elected officials, but it maybe needs some attention, but the citizens' right to understand and have the information is important.
Now, this Saturday's election day, and you guys have some things on the ballot, right?
Yes. Everything on the ballot is relative to tax renewals, mostly property tax renewals relative to recreation or fire districts. There's only one thing on the ballot that is parish-wide. So we are really encouraging citizens to get out and vote. I've already early voted, and I had that one thing. And the one thing is the Florida Parishes Juvenile Detention Center. This center serves a five-parish area, including St. Tammany, Washington, Tangipahoa, Livingston, and St. Helena. So we're all over here on the North Shore. It's got 133 beds. I have toured it in the past. It's a high-security facility, and it provides crucial programming for at-risk youth that go through there. In addition to psychiatric or healthcare services, they have a great program for vocational and education training. It was even recognized recently, in 2023, with an award of excellence from the Center for Improving Youth Justice. And we feel strongly that it will ultimately affect everyone across the entire North Shore. So please vote, get out and vote. Vote yes to support this very effective facility and its programs.
And I know you guys don't endorse candidates, but on issue-oriented stuff, y'all get behind it, either pro or con, right?
Correct, correct. Our chamber, like most business organizations, it's all about your tax status and what that allows. So we are a 501c6, which is a business nonprofit, whereas charitable nonprofits are 501c3.
Right.
Neither of those statuses are allowed to endorse candidates. However, most political action committees, known as PACs, are 501c4, and that status does allow candidate endorsements. So as St. Tammany's population grew and grew and grew, it's been about 10 years since our St. Tammany Chamber, formed a PAC. The name of it is St. Tammany Chamber PAC. And we have endorsed several candidates over the years, including the 2023 election of our new legislative delegation and parish-wide candidates. So we believe we are the only purely business-focused PAC in St. Tammany. And in order to become a PAC, Chamber PAC member, you must first be a chamber member. So we are reorganizing, yes, our PAC.
No.
We have.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
We are reorganizing. There has been a lot of interest and the credibility of our PAC. We get phone calls, and we created a website last year. All of our PAC board members are featured on our website. And, of course, social media. So we'll be beefing that up as this year goes on. Even though it's a fairly slow election year locally, of course, we have the presidential election, and we are going to be beefing up our PAC member engagement and involvement. So we encourage everybody, please go vote this Saturday for the Florida Parishes Juvenile Detention Center renewal. We are going, as far as future candidates, we, the chamber and our PAC and other chambers in the region, have hosted, we've so far held two candidate boot camps where people that are interested in running for office can come and learn about how to run a campaign, what it takes, how to get your vote out, how to rally your volunteers, fundraise, everything that goes along with running for office. So it's part of our fostering a healthy environment for business, education, and quality of life.
And if people want to get involved, they can go to sttammanychamber.org, correct?
Correct.
Well, Lacey, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to let you go so that you can get out of the janitorial closet and back into the fresh air of the beautiful Castine Center.
Well, thank you. And the air condition is working very well in here. So.
And I got to tell you, Michael Heck's jealous. He's only in parking lots. He hasn't done the janitorial closet gig yet. So.
Yes. Well, I have had no gin and tonic or old-fashioned consumption before this interview.
Well, I'll let him know that you said that. Take care. Have a great day today.
Okay.
We really appreciate
it. Thank
you. That's Lacey Osborne, folks, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, the list of U.S. colleges where students are holding protest encampments with a unified demand for their schools to stop doing business with Israel or companies that support the war in Gaza. All of this seems to have its roots in boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement that we've been seeing for decades here. And the list of the demands are growing by the day as well. Here to talk to us about it, Mike Gonzalez, the Angelus T. Arredondo e Pluribus Unum Senior Fellow, Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage, joins us. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Mike, I don't know. Where does this end? I mean, what is the end game here for these universities?
Well, the end game for the protesters, those who are leading the protests, there's a lot of kids. I've seen them interviewed on TV, and I'm going to drive to a major university tomorrow. But some of them don't know what they're doing. They don't know where Palestine is. They don't know what the conflict is about. But the leaders, I believe, are not really interested in Gaza or the Middle East. They're interested in regime change right here in the U.S. They hate Israel because Israel is kind of like a mini-me America. It's not coincidental that they say they hate Israel because it's a white settler state, is what they call it, and they see the U.S. as a white settler state. And they sometimes very open about it. They say, look, what we want to do, and I've written about this, is dismantle U.S. civilization and Western civilization. And Israel is an outpost of it in the Middle East, or so they think. So that's their end goal, if you want to ask me what I think about it.
This seems to be more and more organized. You see, someone was saying, what did they have, a sale on the same tent across the United States that are appearing at all these campuses. You're seeing the same circulars, the same bulletins being distributed, the same language being used. It's almost as if there is a preparatory school for these protests that are going on across the country. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there are many preparatory schools for these types of things. And that's exactly what I call them. One of them is the Labor Community Strategy Center in Los Angeles, which is the preparatory school that recruited Patrice Couture, one of the architects of Black Lives Matter, and trained her as a Marxist for 10 years. And don't forget that there's a strong, very, very strong connection between BLM and the Palestinian terrorists. But one of the groups that has been organizing these protests is the Answer Coalition. It's a fiscally sponsored project of Progress Unity Fund, which is a 501c3 that is funded by the Tides Foundation. The Tides Foundation has a lot of money. they funded BLM for a very long time, and they fund the Progress Unity Fund, which supports the Answer Coalition, which organizes the protests. I've seen at least one protest that was organized by Answer. I don't know about all of them. I'm going to start looking into this more and more, but I think that's at least one Answer.
So it's kind of running the gamut right now. I mean, it was interesting, the president of Columbia University testifying before a congressional committee seemed as though she was going to take a very deliberate approach to this, a recognition of their own rules that they worked very hard in order to adopt, to give everybody a space necessary to do what they want to do. The students weren't on board. They warned the students. They said they would be taking action. And now they're negotiating with folks that are saying that they are Hamas. There are those that are saying, stop referring to this group as pro-Hamas, because that would not be an honest characterization of them when they're saying that they are Hamas. Why would we negotiate with terrorists?
Yeah, and in fact, if foreign students are involved in these actions and they are demonstrating on behalf of Hamas or for Hamas, they're in violation of their visa conditions, the conditions which granted them a student visa to come to this country, and they should be expelled and deported immediately. I'm a strong, you know, civil rights person in the sense that I respect people's First Amendments, but we have to make sure that the law is never broken, that people are not allowed to go to class. People who go to Columbia, people who go to Harvard or NYU, their parents pay a lot of money, and I'm talking about $90,000 a year. And another thing at which we have to draw a very, very strong line is threatening Jewish Americans. You know, we cannot have a situation in which in the year of our Lord, 2024, in the United States, no less, Jews are afraid to go to class. Well, the rabbi at Columbia has to tell the Jewish students at Columbia and Barnard to go home and stay there. That is despicable. And that should not be allowed. That is breaking the law. So if Minush Rafiq cannot defend the rights of her students, then Governor Hochul has to call in the National Guard. Something must be done. This is happening in the United States, and it should not be allowed to happen.
A lot of these kids, young adults, are saying that this is their Vietnam. And there was a writer the other day, it was yesterday, I can't remember his name, it escapes me, that said that the only way to really deal with this is not really arresting them. It would be to expel them from their universities, because they really want to be arrested. And it's almost this, I think he described it as being this romance that they have with certain outcomes, one being arrest, where that on their resume kind of emboldens them, and they've crossed whatever line there is to where it's something to actually brag about. And there's almost this romantic feeling that they get through this whole process, because they are professional agitators or protesters or whatever they may be. And that the only way that the universities are going to find an end to this is to expel these students. And not engage in what they're hoping to accomplish. I mean, you've seen a lot of this across the world. Do you get the sense that that's true, what they're describing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I have studied what happened in the 60s. I just wrote a book with Catherine Gorka called Next Gen Marxism, What It Is and How to Combat It, in which we go through all this. We talk about the Palestinians and support for the Palestinians. And what we're seeing here is a manifestation of the third iteration of Marxism in the United States. That's what we call the next-gen Marxism. But it still wants to do all the things that Marx wanted to do, pretty much, starting with the abolishing the family, in kind of boiling all of human interaction to this epic struggle between the oppressor and the oppressed. Everybody gets sent to a category. And the reason why you have these students who are very simple-minded supporting terrorists is because they have been told that Palestinians are in the category of the oppressed, and that the Israelis are in the category of the oppressor. So never mind that on October 7th, Hamas invaded, massacred 1,200 people, including many, many, many defenseless women and children, some of them burnt alive. They were atrocities. These students are supporting the Palestinians over the real victims because of this, the simple-minded, ham-fisted, oppressed versus oppressor category. I think this has to be nipped in the bud, Newell. We got a lot of bad stuff. I'm now writing a paper on ethnic studies, how what a bad impact ethnic studies has had on the country. And ethnic studies was the same thing. Was something that came out of the late 60s in order to take down the United States, in order to malign American history and American traditions and American ways. And we did a lot of bad things in the 60s and 70s and 80s because of the student protests and because of the university administrators did not have the courage to say no. We have seen this movie. It doesn't end well, and we should not repeat the mistake that we made decades ago.
The ignorance of a lot of these young adults that are out there never ceases to amaze me, and I'm just completely mystified how completely and totally disconnected they are from the facts. I was watching, you know, the man on the street interviews the other day where they were asking some of the protesters about this saying from the river to the sea. And they were asking them what it meant. And they couldn't say. And they were. And at one point, the guy asked them, he said, well, you know, there is a river and there is a sea. And they're like, what do you mean? And it's like, there's an actual river and a sea. Can you tell me the name of the river and tell me the name of the sea? They couldn't.
Yeah, that's right. they have no idea the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah, you have to laugh to keep from crying.
I mean, they don't know that what is between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea is the entirety of the state of Israel. So when you're saying from the river to the sea, what you're saying is exterminate all Israelis. The most benign when you ask them, well, what are the Jews going to go? What going to do? And what they say is go back to Poland, go back to Belarus. That's what they were saying on the Columbia campus yesterday, because many of the original settlers, the architects of the state of Israel came from escaping the Holocaust, came from Poland and Eastern Europe. Obviously now half of Israel comes from North Africa and the Middle East because they're Sephardic Jews. But that's the most benign interpretation of from the river to the sea. Many others just want to exterminate the Jews, kill all the Israelis, push them into the sea. The from the river to the sea chant has genocidal implications that I don't think many understand. But one thing, Newell, I think a lot of them do understand it.
Yeah. Well, I think they fully embrace and wear as a badge of honor hate, right?
Yeah, right.
they may not understand all of the little sayings and the this and the that, but it's just it's emblematic of a very ignorant group of people that allegedly the forward leading thinkers that are in management position of incredible universities in this country don't seem to understand that the folks that they're trying to negotiate with, you cannot negotiate with these folks.
They hate us. They hate our society.
But they hate
the United States as well. A lot of this is self-hatred.
And I mean, you know, and it's why I started out to what ends. I mean, are we going to try for a two-state solution on Columbia University? It's like,
right.
Where are we going with this? You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't seem to be able to figure out what that strategy is going to be. Mike Gonzalez, I love your writings. I want to read more about after you visit these campuses, your observation, because I'm sure it's going to be very telling for sure.
Well, over the next 2 weeks, I'll be traveling to two major campuses, both Ivy League schools, and I will be writing about it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight. While you're visiting these campuses, stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, Newell. Bye.
All righty. That's Mike Gonzalez from the Heritage Foundation. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Folks, are ready to go to a party. Now's a chance to win a pair of tickets to Jazz Fest. Today's password is GRIGRI, G-R-I-S, G-R-I-S. That's GRIGRI. Now go to WWL.com/contest and register to win. It's easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets plus round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day this week. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, me, Scoot, or Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day to see amazing artists like Foo Fighters, Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, Queen Latifah, Hozier, Greta Van Fleet, Trombone Shorty, and more. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. In fact, we are going to be broadcasting live from Miller Lite tent tomorrow, and we'll visit with a number of folks. Got a great lineup to talk about a lot of different folks' experiences out there at Jazz Fest. We'll talk to the artist of the poster, the producer of the poster. We'll tell the backstory of how all of that works. It's going to be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to being out there tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Want to thank the folks at Miller Lite, Tastes Like Miller Time, and WWL. Really looking forward to it. So listen in. We'll learn a lot about what's going on. So this story that we just talked about with Mike Gonzalez, it doesn't end here with just students. Actually, 1,400 academic open letter committing to the boycott events held at or officially sponsored by Columbia University and Barnard College. These are 1,400 academics from around the country. They are making demands. They say they reject the ludicrous idea that the Columbia administration was forced to call in the NYPD because of the need to protect students from rhetoric that amounts to harassment and discrimination. Indeed, it is the university's own decision to arrest, intimidate, criminalize, and punish students that has endangered their safety. If a university would rather arrest its own students than listen to their demands, if it would rather imitate the military tactics of a state that has destroyed every university in Gaza, burying students and colleagues under the rubble, then divest from it, then is it still a university? So the boycotting academics are demanding the following: that Barnard College, Teachers College, and Columbia University expunge all charges, including suspensions from, and restore campus privileges to the students who protested, as well as reinstate suspended student groups, such like the Columbia Students for Justice in Palestine and Columbia Jewish Voices for Peace. They also demand that Columbia President Manoush Shafiq and Barnard President Laura Rosenberry resign, and that the police presence on campus be removed. They demand that the university administration must remove police presence from the campus and end the targeted repression of students involved in the anti-genocide protesting, both on and on off the campus. It's amazing here. It doesn't matter that they're not following the university rules. In fact, they don't want any accountability at all. They want to do what they want, when they want, why they want, how they want. Sounds like that culture of noncompliance, right? The open letter also further endorses the demands of the Columbia University Gaza Solidarity Encampment, which includes divesting from companies and institutions that profit from Israeli apartheid, genocide, and occupation in Palestine, terminating programs with universities in Israel, severing ties with the New York Police Department, providing reparations for low-income Harlem residents, ending the targeted repression of Palestinian students and their allies on and off campus, and releasing a statement calling for a ceasefire. Until the demands are met, these academics who signed a letter will not participate in events hosted or sponsored by Columbia or Barnard, and they will not collaborate on events, workshops, grants, co-authored papers with Columbia or Barnard faculty who also hold administrative roles. They are asking for a lot. Columbia has been negotiating with terrorists. Maybe they'll negotiate with this group of knuckleheads as well. Will be interesting to see where this goes. It's moved beyond the borders of Columbia University. And we'll see how they handle this. We'll continue to mystify folks in what they are doing. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, because we'll be out at Jazz Fest tomorrow, we'll have No Filter Friday today. So we'll go open lines when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.